Well, minus the musical intro and the grandeur entrance, this is Pints and Pairings. We're back for another segment with Barrel House Brewing Company.
You know, we've been standing for an hour and a half, well, like 2.5 hours.
I know, normally I have the cushy chair and the little desk in your garage studio.
Yeah,
the Lauterton Studios.
The nice office chair. Yeah, I tell you, the beer is helping to kind of take the pain out of it.
Well, eventually you won't be able to feel your legs.
Right. Well, I've lost feeling in my legs already, but that's beside the point.
It's exciting, though, because we're here live at the Village Commons Market with the Beer Cave, one of our favorite Camarillo locations for all your local craft beer, 231 Village Commons Boulevard. And we've got a fantastic live audience, one of our biggest live audiences ever, considering we've had so many live audiences. But we had a few, and this is one of our biggest ever.
I mean, considering last week when it was just my father-in-law sitting in the studio with us.
Hey, he loved the beer we were trying.
Oh, yeah, there was. So.
But Sammy's hooked us up. We've got a fun group of people. They're eating chips and salsa and different cheeses and snacks, all things that are complementing the Barrel House Brewing lineup that we've had tonight. We've done the Kolsch, the Pale, the IPA, leading into the big boy coming up right now, the Imperial Red Celebration.
Their anniversary. Right. So this is their first anniversary. And, you know, we're talking about Barrel House Brewing out of Paso Robles, California. You know, we're talking about them like they've been here forever and everyone should know it. These guys have been here for just a little over a year.
You know,
and they've got like 7 or 8 beers in their lineup already. And
you've totally called me out in terms of taking for granted the fact that we're familiar with this brewing company. Jeff from Local Craft Distribution, and you can find them at Local Craft Dis. We thought it was Distro earlier, kind of like in
the
G.I. Joe series, but it's not Distro. It's Local Craft Dis. Follow them on all the social platforms. But his company has supplied the Barrel House beers tonight, and we have been recalcitrant.
Yes,
in providing their social media information and how to get a hold of Barrel House Brewing. So we got to make sure you're all following Barrel House Brewing on Facebook, but also at Barrel House Beer.
So on the Twitter account.
Yeah, right, pretty there. Easy to follow.
Right. BarrelHouseBrewing.com. If you do a Google search for it, it's going to come right up. Fantastic. I mean, so we've talked a little bit about in the past episodes. Go listen to it, about the branding and everything on the glass. The website is just an extension of that. You know that you're at their brewing company as soon as you click on their website. You know, you know you're there. Easy to navigate and great descriptions of the beer. We have the pleasure of tasting the anniversary ale. And
this is going to be a fun one because we don't have the cheat sheet. We don't have the brewer's notes about flavor profile and the structure that we should be following with this beer. We're going with solo. It's going to be 100% us.
I'm scared. How can we do it?
This isn't an episode of the Blair Witch.
I don't know what to do. Well, this is
going to be simple.
I feel comfortable around you not knowing what I'm doing, but in front of all these people, I'm a little nervous.
So let's start off with an easy one.
Okay.
Again, it's their Imperial Red as a base. What's an Imperial Red for the people listening at home?
Oh, my word. So here you go. West Coast again.
Come on, Cicerone. Live up to your name.
No. So we've got they love to label their things West Coast. Their Kolsch is West Coast style. Their IPA is West Coast style.
West Coast is the best coast, Curtis.
Well, it is. It's the left coast, the best coast, whatever you want to call it. And I truly feel, honored, pleasured, whatever it is, to live out here. It's my pleasure.
You're not going to make it to the meltdown.
I'm not going to either. It's feeling a little shaky at this moment. But so we've got this Imperial Red. Think about a red ale. We're talking Irish reds, malty beers, okay?
Sure.
And then you've got it's morphed so much that you can't even – I have a problem.
Well,
I have a problem calling it an Imperial Red because there's so much hops in this thing that it's crazy. Jeff just told us 136 IBUs.
Oh, man. That's an intensity that is unmatched by most beers I've ever had. But when we think about an Imperial in terms of description, that's usually going to be a higher alcohol percentage, and it's going to be a little stronger kind of malt backbone, right, in order to stand up to the hops that are being introduced.
Yes.
But 136 IBUs.
Okay, so theoretically, you can't taste, like, you can calculate it, but theoretically, you can't taste over 100. So let's just say that there's a buttload of hops.
That's like giving 110%, right?
That's right. I mean, you know that you're drinking a bunch of hops. that's about it.
If you were to put hops in a salad bowl and put a dressing on it, that'd be this beer.
That'd be about it. But way, way better, because there's a malt backbone in this. And when I – maybe the best parallel I can draw to this beer would be Arrogant Bastard, but it's still on the top end, so there's still way more malt, and I think there's probably still about, like, perception wise maybe the same amount of hop bitterness and flavor, but the malt is way up there as well.
And thankfully the malt is there, because what I'm getting out of the nose is a great pairing and a complement to each other. There's enough sweetness in the malt, but enough intensity of the hops that I'm getting almost a pineapple aspect. You know, you take a fresh sliced pineapple, and it's borderline on the fringe of a syrupy pineapple out of a can, but there's still just a zestiness and a vibrancy that if you were to put a pineapple on the counter, slice through it near the stem, so you're getting some of the greenness of the leaves, and you're getting some of that freshness and rawness of the slightly underripe edges, but then that little bit of extra sweet core. And, you know, having family back in Hawaii, you can really attest to the intensity of sweetness in a fresh pineapple right out of the field. This is just on the fringe of fresh pineapple into a syrupy canned pineapple.
Right. And
in the nose only. And I haven't tasted it yet, for disclosure.
And I'm thinking, because I've had two big mouthfuls of it just to get a whole palate coating kind of experience with this beer. The malt sweetness in this beer is what makes it a drinkable beer. Now this isn't a medium body beer. This is a heavy body beer, obviously. And the reason being is because they had to balance 136 IBUs somehow.
And they've done that well with the malt, though. It's malt milk ball. There's enough of that. You know, when you bite into a Whopper, just use the brand name because I don't know too many other brands of malt balls. But when you take that bite, the chocolate coating really pushes through into the maltiness and gives you that sweet, caramely aspect that we're getting out of the beer that we're tasting right now. And that malt backbone, if it weren't there, this, like you said, would be largely undrinkable. It'd be so resiny and so hoppy that it would be almost aspirin-y kind of bitterness.
Right, and you look at any one characteristic of this beer, whether it would be the malt bill or the hop profile, whether it's the flavor or the bitterness, if any one of these was out of sync, so if there wasn't the 136 IBUs, if there wasn't the 9.5% alcohol, this beer would be so unbalanced that it would be hard to drink. It would either be clangingly sweet or it would be just way too bitter. And so managing, it's the true brewer's craft in pulling these beers together, saying, I want this giant beer, but how am I going to balance this beer and make it drinkable at the same time?
Well, I was talking earlier about the pineapple and nose, and that lends people to think that it's very tropical and it's very fruity, but it's actually dark and sugary too. In the nose, there's also a raisiny fig aspect that's really battling with the pineapple. So you're getting that fresh fruit sweetness, but you're getting that darker reduction of fruit that you think of as things start to really evaporate and concentrate down into a dark, shriveled sweetness.
Yeah, and it's helping me kind of formulate what I want to pair with this. And there is still, we're talking about this well-balanced beer. It is still balanced on the hop flavor and the hop bitterness, because that's what you're left with when it's all done. And so that's what's kind of left behind. I'm thinking in one of my favorite go-to cookies for a beer pairing would be a shortbread cookie.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's not a lot of sweetness. There's still a buttery sort of flavoring to it, just a tiny bit of sweetness, but the bready flavors or the sweetness on that is what's going resonating with the beer, I think, are going to be able to help pull the hop bitterness and the hop flavors down just a tiny bit too. For anyone who is looking to taste this and say, hey, now this is way too much on the hop side.
So you're really resonating. I'm going to go two at once on you, because I want to go more sour and I want to cut through the sweetness. I want to do either like a real basic lemon herb chicken, so you're getting zestiness and sharp, sour, citrusy aspects, and that really nutty, gamey protein of the chicken. Or I want to go out in the backyard on the golf course with some lager and real light beer marinated lime steak, like a skirt steak or a flat iron steak, and slice that up into just basic tacos with a little bit of cilantro and onion. Because that citrus sour punch, I think, is going to cut through the sweetness here. And especially with the tacos, if you're adding that cilantro and green onion or a fresh raw white onion, that peppery just astringency is going to bring down some of the maltiness in this beer.
Yeah, and, you know, as you're talking about it, and I'm marveling just a little bit on how you're able to try and find this fresh or refreshing way compliment to this beer, and I cannot get away from the sweet side.
You like to resonate with that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think sometimes your palate can really start to break down, and that's part of why I go that direction, especially as we start to finish up our broadcast, is because we've had so many beers in a row, and eventually, as you start working through the spectrum of flavors, your palate literally becomes tired. Your mouth becomes tired. So you want to really liven it up. You want to freshen it, and that's where my tastes are going now. That doesn't mean the pairings you're providing are wrong, but I would tend to lean your direction more earlier in the evening instead of the end, because I don't want to go to bed with a sleepy, muddled palate. I want to feel like I'm crisp and ready to go.
That's what brushing your teeth does for you. For you to bed. Well, I just this beer has such a wonderful sweetness to it that I instinctively want to try and find the desserts to go with it. You were talking a little tart and some other things.
Yeah.
So let me go. Now I was just saying that I was going to these sweet things, and I was thinking pie, but then I started to think of tomato pie along with it.
Tomato pie, interesting.
Going on the savory side, because you've got the sweet flavors of the pie crust that are going to resonate just a little bit with the caramel-like, and the caramel-like's going flavors of the beer. But then all of those herbal and maybe just the tart tomato sweetness that you can find in there after, especially after it's been baked at whatever it is, 425 for an hour.
A tangy, savory dessert with tomato pie is interesting. And as we've talked before, it gets my gears grinding. We have a pastry chef friend that I would like to enlist to try that recipe. But also, what if we went, sticking with the pie theme, either a strawberry or a strawberry rhubarb, where we're reducing those fruits and the rhubarb down in a balsamic reduction, so you're enhancing the figginess and that molassesy smokiness of this beer, but you're getting the zesty, sugary freshness of the strawberries and the rhubarb. And then, just to go back to what we've done before, a few small shards of fresh basil, just to really, because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with strawberry, balsamic, and basil, maybe even a little mozzarella cheese, but we're talking about pie right now. So strawberry rhubarb with some fresh basil, and we've reduced that strawberry rhubarb down in balsamic vinegar. So we're getting sweetness, the smokiness, the molassesy aspect, the fresh fruits, and then again that buttery crust, that lattice work on top and the buttery crust that really ties it all together.
Okay, so let me go take that just one step further and say,
what are we topping it with?
Let's say rhubarb crisp.
Oh, the crisp. All right. I
so,
like it.
So we've got
the brown sugar crumble, right?
Oh, yeah.
Top?
Oh, yeah.
How would I even be remiss?
Because you've got the brown sugar flavors, which are going to resonate with the caramel-like flavors of the beer. But then we're talking about this tart kind of flavor. And as this beer is sitting on my palate, it becomes a little tart as the longer that it's sitting, too. And so taking and just piggybacking off of your rhubarb strawberry, just going straight rhubarb crisp.
I like what happened there. You say, sir, I see you with tomato pie. And I go, yes. And I match you with strawberry rhubarb and a balsamic reduction. You go, but I raise you with a...
So what's your raise?
I'm not going to raise it because I like where you went. And I'm happy with the pairings that we provided. You know, we could be here all day long tossing things back and forth over the net and hoping for that great hit. And so far, all of them are really awesome suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
So I relinquish...
All right. Well, we hit a ton of sweet because I just couldn't get off the sweet.
However, if you do want to throw in just this glass of beer with a cigar, you're probably going to be happy.
If there you go. You know, I leave it to you to pick the cigar for people. I'm not a cigar smoker.
I'm not normally a cigar smoker, but I've had a few. It's going to have to be a kind of mild to medium-bodied cigar, fresh tobacco. So you're getting, again, that humidor component. You're getting a little bit of sweetness out of the tobacco. Have the pie first, and then halfway through the glass, switch to the cigar. You're going to have a great evening, and that would wrap up your pints and pairings evening.
Fabulous. This has been any way we go with this beer. It's the beer itself is fantastic, and because we've come at it from so many directions, that tells you how complex this beer is and how many more, how many more suggestions there has to be for this. So let us know your suggestions.
How do they do that?
Hashtag beer suggestioneers or hashtag pints and pairings. You can also find us at Facebook at Pints and Pairings and leave us a suggestion there on our face, status, whatever it is.
on our wall.
Our face page.
Oh, Curtis, you're just on the cusp of a generation too far gone.
It's right
but
there.
When we talk about the social media aspects too, with the new Facebook page for Pints and Pairings, we want your pictures as well. I just put up a new album called Field Pairings. So if you have a really awesome food and beer pairing, you tried out somewhere at a restaurant, and you've got the food just in the perfect shot, and in the background is the glassware with the beer in it, put it on our wall and use hashtag Field Pairing, and we'll be able to see it because we want to know that the beer and the food went together.
And I'll tell you what, we will give you the credit for that particular.
Most definitely.
We want everyone to know that there are so many more suggestions out there. And
so many more beers for us to walk through.
And we learn so much from everyone else's too. So make sure you leave that to us. Leave those suggestions there.
And as you can tell, based on the last few sentences, that we're coming close to our meltdown show as well. This is the end of our broadcast for this segment. We want to thank Jeff from Local Craft Distribution and the Barrel House Brewing team for putting together some really awesome beers in these bottles. We've shared it out with a really fun and engaged crowd at Village Commons Market here in Camarillo. But we're going to come back. We're going to have a little bit of a meltdown. We're going to throw you a zinger. So stay tuned because we're going to get a mini segment with That's a tequila right. man.
Tequila.
So stay tuned. Curtis, what do we always tell everyone?
I want to remind everyone to eat, drink, and be happy.
And we'll see you at the next pour. Cheers.